Good morning, everybody. I am so excited today. We are recording for Black Maternal Health Week, and we have some amazing authors, birth workers, and advocates that are sharing some of the most important work that they do around our community. We have Nashita Holler with us today, y'all. If you do not know who she is, you are going to learn. Okay. She has this amazing book called Magical Milk. We got introduced to this by our partners in Seattle, Blackberry. You know, we both do work around doula and all of that stuff and helping with the workforce development and really addressing the maternal health crisis that's impacting Black women. Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die due to pregnancy-related issues, and 60% of them are preventable. One of those things that we don't talk a lot about is breastfeeding. How do we reclaim our bodies? How do we reclaim our minds? How do we reclaim our stories? And when I saw this children's book, I fell in love, okay? Because a lot of times we're not passing down the information, or we're just doing something. Everybody just doesn't. No one asks any questions. But really, when we look at the statistics around Black women breastfeeding, it is significantly low. We have one of the lowest breastfeeding rates. And, you know, we have our own little children's book about breastfeeding, and called Feed That Child, Don't Worry About a Thing. The stories, the legacies of grandmothers passing down information and empowering. But the thing that I love about your book, it goes into this space, this realm of teaching, and it's just beautiful. So I'm not going to stop. I'm going to stop right here. So Nashita, thank you so much for being here and being in our space. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you into this work. And we have a little advocate with us, y'all. You know how we do on here on this podcast. We always say, you know, I'm a mom and I'm an advocate, and our babies come along with us. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this work.
Thanks for that introduction. Okay, thank you. I feel so special. As far as like how I got into this work, it's really interesting. So before I started at this job that I'm currently at, I worked at Healthy Start. So I was at Healthy Start for a good amount of years. But during that time, I was a health educator and did a lot of work in the community, providing education on maternal and child health, and really helping, because that program is really focused on helping to reduce infant and maternal mortality in populations that have really high numbers, urban communities. Not always, but I will say that some of them are in some of those areas. So my work there consisted of doing a lot of like education prenatally and during their postpartum period. And one of the things that we ran across was just lactation and breastfeeding support. And there was a huge lack in the community that I served. So I really, at the time there was like funding to become a certified lactation counselor. And I did that and was doing that for a few years, but the book didn't come about until a little bit later. But anyway, that's kind of how I started in the work. And then it just kind of fell into place from there, from all of the other things that kind of slowly began to align. But that was back in 2016. So I've been doing some stuff for a while, just kind of really supporting families and helping them.
Wow.
On a personal note.
Yeah. I was just going to ask.
And mother of three. So my youngest is right here with us. My little co-host, my co-worker, my employee of the month, if you want to call her. But yes, we have three beautiful children. And this last little one, which is my last one, is breastfeeding. We currently are breastfeeding too. So I'm really happy to be here and excited to kind of have this talk with you.
Oh my goodness, I love it. I think so many times we try to hide our children in professional spaces, and that sends a message, you know what I mean? It's not professional to be a mom, where, you know, a lot of us, we need to understand that being professionalism and motherhood go together. It's something we've always done from the beginning of time, and it's important for us to, you know, normalize that and bring our little ones into space. So I am so glad that you shared your story and how you got and got in this world. I always say it's like entanglement. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, this is kind of cool. I like this. And then you find yourself year one, year two, year three, year four, year five, 10 years into it. And you're still touching people's lives with this book. And so I wanted to see if you wanted to read a couple little pages from the book to give our listeners and readers an idea of what this book is all about.
Yeah, of course. But before I even share, one of the things you just said was just normalizing just having our babies here. And that was one of the things I was like struggling with, like, oh, Lord Jesus, baby, please act right in the background. Don't start crying. Don't do all those things. Because on camera, you know, or doing these spaces, we want to show this like idea that everything is always supposed to happen a certain way. And of course, here I am. Right, yes. Here, just holding her and just really trying to like navigate motherhood and just my career. So
yeah, and I think that's what I love about the conversation around breastfeeding, is because breastfeeding, it interrupts in a good way. Okay, it interrupts your day, as quote unquote your day, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you're working, and that's a lot of people get so, you know, worried or so, you know, wound up like, oh, I gotta breastfeed my baby, where am I gonna do this, how am I gonna do this, are people gonna look at me crazy, you know, is my baby gonna lift up my shirt and show all my goods, you know, all of the different things that come in our mind. And it's one of the most beautiful things that we could do for our children, you know. And you know what, sometimes you are struggling with breastfeeding. I struggled with breastfeeding. I was only able to go, you know, probably about 8 months or something like that. And then my daughter like weaned herself off of breastfeeding, and I was devastated, because she wanted the bottle. And we would do formula and breast milk together. And she just like, she figured out like, oh yeah, this is a lot easier. And we didn't realize that, like, you know, you need to hold the bottle a certain way. You have to do all these things. And we were told that, and we were like, oh no, I think she's doing good. She's adjusting well. But then when we actually realized that, you know, we were, you know, doing some things that would hurt, would make her want to wing sooner, you know, I learned a lot. And it's amazing to go into these spaces around breastfeeding and understand the different complex situations where people are shamed and they are isolated and pushed out because they are they're breastfeeding.
Yeah, you just said a whole lot. first of all, yes, we want to acknowledge that 8 months, okay? That was, you know, sometimes we kind of like water down or kind of like, no, we need to change how we speak about our experiences. And yes, I did that. And you better appreciate it and say it with some real oomph behind it, you know?
You got that right.
There's a lot of different things that we do go through that we struggle with as lactating and breastfeeding parents. And yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's tough. But we find ways, and you don't know what you don't know. And so now how that has shaped and empowered you to be able to think about moving forward when I have other children, or how I can help support other people in their experiences. So me too. Like a lot of that, like with my first kid, I know I'll read from the book. I promise you, but with my first kid, I only found about, or I didn't see anybody in my family breastfeed. I didn't, except for my one cousin who at the time was like, you're going to do it. And I'm like, I'll give it a try. Like, I'll see what happens and we'll go from there. But in the back of my mind, of course, being younger, a lot younger than I am now, I was like, well, I'm still going to have my cans of formula just in case, because I was already setting myself up. So, and now that I kind of look back on it, like not shaming at all, but it's just the fact that I did not know. And by the time it was time for me to go back to work, I didn't realize all of the things that I could have done to help with maintaining my milk supply. I didn't know I was supposed to be pumping a certain amount of times at work, or even, you know, what to do. And just the lack of resources and information that was available to me at the time. And it's so interesting, because when I did become a CLC, and at that point in time in my life, I had already had my son. And I was thinking to myself, like, how come I didn't know this stuff? Why this wasn't taught to me? Besides a few minutes of time that was shared in my childbirth class, that I didn't have a clue about breastfeeding. I just pretty much winged it. Like, I right. just was like, we'll figure this out as we go. And right. I don't really recall having, now I see how much this lactation space has grown, especially in communities of color, and I love it.
Yeah.
And I just
yeah.
remember not seeing that then.
Yep. Yep. It's so true. And even when you were talking about like just the knowledge, you know, people don't understand breastfeeding can reduce your chances of type 2 diabetes, ovarian cancer, all of these different pieces that we don't even know. And it's really plaguing a lot of Black women. It's killing us. And not saying breastfeeding is going to be the solution to that, because that is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there are certain things that are that we could be offered or have options in having the full amount of education so that we can say, you know what, I'm gonna try this. Even just talking about even how sexual assault impacts our breastfeeding abilities, you know, that sensation, those triggers. And if we don't have those conversations early on, and that way people can be prepared, you know, that they are going to feel these sensations, they're going to feel these things, and they're going to be like, I don't want to do this. This is not for me. When we haven't even given the options or even told or shared how resources to help people overcome some of those experiences. It's really interesting when we talk with new moms and we start having that conversation. They're like, wow, I never thought about the things and the trauma that I've experienced, how it impacts my motherhood, how it impacts my ability to bond and nurture and care. And it's such a big conversation. And for some reason, our communities are sometimes scared to have them.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I did write the book. So a little bit of like backstory about like how the book came about.
Yeah.
While working at Healthy Start, we were... at that point, like I said, I was a lactation, a certified lactation counselor, and we were looking to purchase books to give to our families. And my program director at the time, she was like, I saw these books, take a look at them, let me know what you think. And I looked through them and I was like, they're nice, but I don't see us. I did not see in any of those books anything that reflected people of color that look Black like me. And that was important to me because at this point, I've already had the experience of my own. I've been working with some families in the community, and I realized just like the representation is not there. Even, and we can go into this too, with like lactation professionals. Now that, of course, it is increasing and growing, and I'm so glad. But at the same time, when I was looking, I don't remember it being that many in my state, and I'm in New Jersey. And of course I know there's more now, but just when I was in that process of wanting to like take those next steps, there weren't very many. But I'm saying all that to say that again, when it comes to representation, education, and sharing those resources to people in the community, you want to be able to, educate as many people as possible and not just always rely on the healthcare system to do so. So that was really, really important. Yeah. But that led us to say like, okay, well, I don't see anything. I can write my own. And she was like, you know what? Why not? And so from there, it just took off. I just thought to myself as I was in that process, I wasn't really sure if I was going to like move forward and become an IBCLC, which is an International Board Certified Lactation Consultant, which is like like one of the highest levels of like lactation specific education and trainings that you can have. But I'm saying that because I wasn't sure if I was going to do it. And once I started looking into all of those things, I started thinking about representation in my own community, what that looked like, my own personal experiences, the experiences of those who I was working with at the time. And I was like, this just got to be done. And that's how Magical Milk started. And also the part of the reason why I decided to move forward and become an IBCLC. It was all around the same time.
Wow. Yeah, the book is so powerful. And I love the colors. It's so vibrant. And you all, we're going to actually have a bookstore that will have, a bookstore that's going to have, that's perfect. That's perfect. That will go straight to everybody's links that has been an author or book writer on this series. You'll be able to get their book. And we're also going to be purchasing 18 books from today of the Magical Milk, so that you will also be able to kind of see some of those books in our space as well. So we're really excited.
Awesome. Thank you for that support too. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So tell us, you can start anywhere you want. If you want to add anything to the conversation, you can, but we would love to hear your book.
So it was a lot of inspiration. I really, when I was searching for an illustrator, wanted someone who could develop the characters the way that I wanted them to. There were so many factors that played a role in it. And I just wanted to make sure that they understood, the assignment, that it was meant to, you know, share. And like you mentioned earlier, not only there is this idea or notion that Black people or Black women or people of color don't always breastfeed, but we do, and we're out here. But there's this misconception that we don't. And yes, we know what the data says. We know what the statistics say. However, there's a lot of us out here who
are actually breastfeeding. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes the challenge is even the duration and then the lack of support around helping people to continue breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another thing. And the reason why I really wanted to make sure that I focused on youth and young children is to help change the narrative around like who is doing it, and to kind of normalize those conversations within our own families, because sometimes it's a little bit taboo. And I know I'm not going to jump into all of this because we can keep going, but some of this does date back to slavery and how that has impacted 100. How we view our bodies, how we connect with our bodies, and how we even nurture and care for our little ones. And so when we begin to like try to have some of those conversations with even like people as our elders and our families, sometimes those conversations are tough, or people don't want to have them. And then also how that has impacted or influences our decision around like what we chose to feed our babies because of the things that our ancestors and those experiences have been kind of passed down generationally that we don't always connect with, or even make that connection and realize that is there. So sharing those conversations with our young ones and our families and how important it is. And I'm speaking specifically from our country, the United States. There are other countries who may do things differently. So I only can attest to what I'm experiencing and what I've experienced here. But I do know that other countries and how they view people who are breastfeeding sometimes is a lot different than what we do here, especially when it comes to breastfeeding in public. So all of these things factored into me writing and creating the book, but in a way that made sense for young children to understand. And so that way they can begin to think about and view breastfeeding and lactation as a normal part of life, a normal part of how we feed our infants and babies. Uh-huh. And even like beyond toddler, I mean, baby, infanthood and into toddlers.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you mentioned slavery, because people don't want to talk about that. They want to just jump to the data. And this is why we chose to have Dr. Joy, the writer of Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, come here to Spokane, Washington, to be our keynote speaker for Black Maternal Health Week. And she will be here at Washington State University downtown on the 13th, talking to us about the history of Black people and centering healing. If we don't center healing and we don't understand the backstory of people's history, we cannot move forward. I'm going to say that one more time. If you do not understand your history, you cannot go forward. There are things in certain communities that impact what they do today. And what Dr. Joy was talking about, which was wet nurses and how that lactation support is impacted, how that connection is impacted. So I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Yeah. All right. So even down to like the images, like I was mentioning before, the hair. So this is hair, like how I wanted that to be reflected in the book too. Like how our hair is so unique, so diverse, and just like part of who we are. And I wanted to make sure that they captured that as well. Down to like even some of the small details, like stretch marks.
Notice that.
all of the like
notice that
like styles that she is rocking her hair in the book. So I was really thankful and grateful that the illustrator, shout out to her, and how she really captured all the things that I was looking for in the book. But I will share, let me see, one of my favorite pages. First of all, the dad too. Oh my goodness. And that's another thing, because oftentimes people try to say sometimes like, or not incorporate fathers, and fathers
yes,
a huge part.
So, huge part.
Can we, let me take this off, because I'm struggling with this blurriness.
You're done with it. You said it in the beginning.
Okay. All right. So.
Yeah, it looks good now, Sheena.
He's so handsome.
Yes. And he's in that kitchen cooking. That's a big thing, support.
Yes. And let me just find one of the pages that I love the most. But I love my whole book. I really do. But I would say that the image on this one is one of my favorites. But I'll just skip right to it. But magical milk for a bedtime treat. Warm and sweet. It helps her sleep. So even this is like her hair, like I just yes, beautiful, like
I love it.
But yeah, I also use the characters like from kind of my family. So at the time my son was younger and I had a little girl, and but yep, kind of
Love how he's looking at her. Like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. I love it.
And so, when you think about kids at that young age, and again, it's been really focused on like preschool age children, and yes, when they are expecting like another sibling, like, how is this baby going to be fed? And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about and share different things within there that really could help them to understand, not only is your mommy feeding your baby sibling this wonderful milk, but all of the other things that may be kind of like beneficial in a way to help them understand.
Oh my word. Again, y'all, you have to get this book. You have to put it in your collection. I did not ask this, but your business is called Lactation Goddess.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about your business and what you offer and how you got started? Mm-hmm.
Yes. So like you mentioned, my business is called Lactation Goddess. I really try to focus on helping, supporting the families in my community, but I provide services that in person, in virtual, lactation specific things at childbirth. I mean, not childbirth. I used to be a childbirth educator, but not anymore. but lactation education, and also like providing support for other lactation consultants who are just kind of starting out and trying to figure their way out throughout this process. Because starting a business while working full-time, yeah, and having a family is tough and challenging. So just trying to help, yes, others navigate that too, in different capacities as well.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you shared that with us today. Is there one thing that you want to leave our listeners and readers with as we wrap up this podcast?
I would say that no matter who you are, I can't stress enough how support is so important. Yeah. So if you are a professional supporting a family, if you are a friend of someone or a family member of someone who is lactating and breastfeeding, please just know that like your language and what you say and how you say it and when you say it matters. So yeah, you could really make or break somebody's experience or leave a positive or negative impact on their feeding journey. So I just kind of challenge you to think about the words that you say and when you say it, because if someone is going through some challenges with lactation and breastfeeding, and they're sharing their experiences with you, find different ways and not just say, oh, you still doing that? Or won't you just try this? Or that is not always helpful in a sense. So just really be mindful of the language that you're choosing and just kind of find alternatives to how you would like to support them, because in the end, that's what matters, their experience and their journey and how you can play a role in that. So I would just kind of encourage you all to just think about that for a bit.
That really resonates, because a lot of times we don't think about the wording that we use, even to ourselves. You know, I love me some Tony Jojo, and she has this song called Speak to Me Nicely. And what she's talking about is herself, that self-talk, speaking to yourself nicely, to remind yourself of your power and your beauty. And even when you're not, quote unquote, perfect, you're still perfect. And so thank you so much for coming onto this podcast. We can't wait to share it with everybody, because we're excited. Well, and if people want to find you, we have all of your information down below on this podcast. But where do you prefer people to connect with you?
You can connect with me on Instagram at Lactation Goddess. That's one of the ways. And then if you feel up to it, I would love for you to even just send me an email. I'm like kind of old school. Just shoot me an email. info@lactationgoddess.com. And I would love to connect with you in that way as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right, y'all. We have stuff going on all week for Black Maternal Health. This is just the beginning. Please make sure you share, you like this podcast, send this to somebody as a little gift. Sometimes people just need that encouragement. They need that love. And knowing that you have found something that they're seeking out and want to know more about is so powerful. Until next time, everyone, talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.